Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Powerfully You with your hosts Dave and Linda McDowell.
Good afternoon. This is Dave, and Linda is here with me. We hope you've had a good Sunday. We have been a little busy for us. We like our Sunday slow, but we had stuff we needed to do and obligations to meet, and Linda's involved in an organization that's a good one. So anyway, let's just, I think, just jump right in. Do you think we need to introduce our program? We haven't done that in a while as far as what we're trying to do.
Well, it won't hurt to do it again.
Okay, so the show is Powerfully You. The purpose is to share spiritual things. Occasionally we may have some fun with something, quote, not spiritual, but it's kind of, Linda likes to call it the view from the pew. We are regular people. We're not, we're lay people. We're not ministers, though Linda is an ordained minister. You know, we're not running a church group. We're not running a Bible study. We just want to share some of the things that the Lord is sharing with us and just put those out there. And hopefully people, our main goal is to get and encourage people to explore their spiritual life.
Yeah.
Yeah, what it means, what they believe, to ask themselves, explore, spend time with God, and grow.
Yeah.
And we hope to give you some ideas and some thoughts that we're growing in, because we are not there.
I think that's our model for the business, come grow with us.
Yeah, and we do have a business. We're not doing a commercial here, but in our little slogan at the bottom of our logo is come grow with us, because trust me, we're growing. We're not there.
Definitely not.
So the topic for today, I titled When and Where is the Battle Won? And I'm just going to read our little description to get us going. When and where are spiritual battles won? Are they won before the battle, during the battle, after the battle? The answer is yes, all of the above. We battle with our own flesh. Our enemy is very active and sneaky, and the world is sometimes also against us. These are powerful forces. How do we win? And then Linda and I would like to discuss how to win spiritual battles. Our main point in this podcast will be preparation, but we'll go into all of it. And how do we arm ourselves through spiritual battles? And then we would just encourage you to join us. Feel free to call in. Let me give you that number. It is 646-787-1589. Let me give that to you again. 646-787-1589. We'd love to hear from you. And that includes those who disagree. We are more than happy to discuss these things. We will always be courteous and kind and try to be understanding. And all we ask is the same in return. So, Linda, do you want to start? Do you want me to jump in there? What you want to do here?
I'll let you start.
Oh, thanks a lot. So, really what happened was Linda and I were talking about it, and we had a situation this week. And because I do believe it lets you see a little bit of us, and we want you to know us so that you will see we are very average. In a lot of ways, and very unaverage or different in other ways. But anyway, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Anyway, I think Wednesday, my car that has 173,000 miles started messing around. And then on the way to work, I had to pull over and stop a little while, and I made it to work, and I said, okay, tomorrow I'm taking this thing to the mechanic. That evening at 5:00, Linda calls me and says, I am pulled over in some parking lot and the car has overheated. And of course, I don't even tell her about my car because that was not the time and place. I just said, well, let's call AAA, da 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 da. Make a long story short, we had one car at our mechanic that we do trust, I trust explicitly, and Linda's learning to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I have history with them, and she's getting history with them. And then also my car was at the BMW mechanic, who I also trust totally. And, you know, on our ride home, when I picked Linda up to take her home from where her car was being towed, we both looked at each other, and I looked at her, and I said, you know what I think this is? And she says, yeah, I think you're right. And we didn't even say it. And we felt like it was an attack, that because we're growing, because we're seeing God move in our lives and we're having opportunities to share with other people, we think the enemy is upset. And he can do a lot of things. And one of them is, and I've seen this before, trust me, there are other stories I could tell you. And we both, and I said, you know, we just said out loud, we addressed him and we said, look, do what you do. God is for us. He can stop anything he wants to stop. But whatever happens, we are not going to despair. We are not going to wallow in anxiety and worry and stress. And we will deal with it. So that's it.
And I think I said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And, you know, I think after you picked me up, I think I had a good night's sleep. I don't remember.
I think we both came home and just relaxed.
You know, worried about it or anything like that.
We turn these things over to the Lord, knowing that we don't have a big cash bank account, et cetera, et cetera. But believing whatever happens, we will find a way, the Lord will provide, and we will be fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we won't have to sacrifice. Doesn't mean there won't be, you know, inconvenience and everything, but we are not going to lose our way.
Or our peace. You
or
know,
our peace.
To let, you know, you can, things can happen in life and you can get so anxious, so fearful that really when you get in that place, one, you don't think as clearly, so you don't find solutions to the problem.
Right.
You're just in a state of
reaction
and dis-evil and all of that. And what came up in my spirit during that time was, like the Lord was saying, do you trust me or not? And, you know, I felt like, yeah, I trust you. So, okay, you got this. I'm going to sleep now. You know, so, but, you know, that it has taken years to get that. And I thought I would go back a little bit and talk about how do you know when there are spiritual attacks coming at you? And trust me, inherently in your spirit, you know these are attacks. I do feel like the Holy Spirit will just kind of whisper you, he has some stuff going on, you know. But basically, when things just inexplicably start going wrong, everything's pretty much been going pretty good. And then you get, and usually when you have spiritual attacks, they come from more than one direction.
Mm-hmm.
You may, in a day, you could get in an argument with your spouse. You could go to work and, you know, just
trouble with your colleagues
at work. And it seems like they happen in a very short time frame when things have been going good out of nowhere. Then these things occur when basically you have no control. Like it wasn't anything you do. Because trust me, I do feel like sometimes we want to throw stuff off on the devil when it's really us.
Mm-hmm.
But these are times when, you know, it's no way you did it or you had anything. They just came up. So a lot of times those are spiritual attacks or you're moving in a direction you've been doing really well and some big thing happens. You know, and sometimes I feel like we do have to look at these instances and see, is God trying to show me something? Should I be learning something here? No matter what, I feel like that should always be a question when things delays or big denials, accidents, even car accidents, you know, those kind of things, you should kind of question some things when these things happen, especially when they happen in sync, one thing after another. That is a real big clue to me. You got anything on that?
Well, let's stick to a Bible situation.
Right.
Where, and I think you're right, it's also been my experience that when I am being attacked, it's not my flesh. In this particular case, sometimes it is, but in this case, you know, it does seem like it comes in multiples. and usually comes as I am having a spiritual breakthrough or about to have a spiritual breakthrough or about to minister in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because our enemy wants us off track.
Right.
He wants us not in good shape, you know, to be despairing, to be discouraged, to feel defeated. And so to continue with our story, because I think this is what triggered this discussion, is as the day wore on, it was really funny. Because first, the mechanic on Linda's car called me and go, oh, we're done, no charge, we just blew a pin thing, you know, and I go, thank you, Lord. Then my mechanic almost word for word says, hey, you're good. And I go, excuse me? He says, oh, yeah, there's nothing to worry about. I go, well, what? Oh, nothing. And we walked away with two cars with no problems that we're aware of, you know, and ready to go with no cost. And later that day, I don't remember if I Skyped Linda or we talked or it was after I got home, but I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, you know, we won this battle Wednesday night. We won the battle when we chose to not despair, to turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, we trust you, and to tell the enemy out loud, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of him. I don't play with him. He's like handling a snake, you know. But on the other hand, I have authority.
Right, and I feel like you can draw, plead the blood of Jesus, and you can draw your line in the sand, you know, and be confident that God has you. We as Christians are going to have moments for us to think that we're not going to have difficult times or things are not going to happen in our life that we have no control, good and bad, but to stay focused on that I trust that God is going to take me
in
through
this place.
In this place.
God will.
He will provide.
He will provide.
We will win.
We will come out of it. How many times have I said this too?
Shall pass.
You know, I wanted to share, you know, about being prepared. So one of the verses I thought about, and I looked it up a minute ago, it's in Psalms 119. And David says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I thought about, you know, I think that's important. I think we got to have that ammunition of God's word in our heart to both pray it back to God, to pray it and remind us, and to also sometimes say it out loud to the enemy. You know, and for example, everything we did on Wednesday night to confront the enemy was biblical. Now, it may or not have been quoting a verse, but we were exercising what we knew was ours from our knowledge of the word. You know, and I paraphrase a lot. I don't always be able to tell you exactly where it was and what chapter and verse, but I can quote a lot of scripture. And I do, and I don't worry about that. I can't say it was 2 Corinthians 2:13.
Yeah.
You know, I just know, you know, a lot of times I can't tell you what book it is, and sometimes I can tell you what chapter, and occasionally I can tell you the verse. But it's important that you hide, and the hide there is to put it in deep and let it marinate, for lack of a better word, you know.
And I feel like God's word, when you, and that's one thing that you know God's word, and like Dave was saying, you don't have to know exactly where it is, but you know the word of God. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. There have been so many times when I have been discouraged or, you know, things have happened, and his word has come out of me to reassure me. And that is the Holy Spirit bringing that back to my remembrance. But you have to have deposits in your spirit, so you do kind of have to have that that knowledge of the word. That's all. I'm just the knowledge of the word. Read the word, even if you don't do it daily. You know, read the word a couple of times a week just to make those deposits. Trust me, they will come out and encourage you when you need that second wind of strength. I think the enemy knows when to attack us. And usually when we are a little bit weaker, maybe we have had something go on. This happened near the end of the day when I was physically weak and tired and ready to be home. That is a good time of attack. And he will attack you when you're physically or mentally weak. You know, when I feel like when you don't have that, to me, your prayer life is very, very important. So when you have that prayer life, it just kind of builds up your character and builds up your inner man. So when you have not really been, you know, how you have really pushed it to the side, sometimes I feel like that he even sees that because you can't go, you don't have that inner built up strength that to me the prayer life brings when you do that routinely. I'm not saying that if you miss the day that he's going to come. I'm not saying that. But when you know when it's been weeks since she said it.
Yeah, and please don't confuse an attack with punishment.
Yeah.
You know, God doesn't punish us. He does correct us, and he does let us experience the consequences of our decisions, of our free will. And I do believe that.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes he'll give us grace and even protect us from those. But, so, you know, I would say that. The other verse that just kind of came to my mind, as we talked about this and I've been thinking about the last day and a half or so, is to think of these things. And let's see if I can verse real quick. Sorry, guys. Hopefully.
You know,
cover for me.
Yeah, I'll cover for you. That's good. Well, think on these things. You know, sometimes filling your mind with the good of God and knowing and going back over how many times have God gotten you through some things. You know, going back over that is really encouraging to your spirit, or just thinking about how good God has been to you. You know, think on those things. Things that bring you joy and make you smile, the gratefulness. Think on the gratitude you have before the good things that God has given you. When you think on those things, it does help you to put you in a positive frame of mind. And I feel like being in a positive frame of mind strengthens your inner man, because I feel like the enemy will attack when you're depressed and feeling defeated and withdrawn, and you just, you know, he knows that's a place where he can attack.
So this is Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8, and I'm going to go into 9 too, actually. And it's Paul. He's finishing the book, and he starts this sentence with finally, as in, the last thing I want to say to you. And we've talked about this before. Usually the last thing somebody wants to say to you is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And you know, I think this is that preparation that we're talking about. We talked about having the word in your heart. We talked about good prayer time with the Lord, where it's real communion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's a two-way conversation and you're really communing with God. And then finally, I also think in your spare time, find good things. You know, Linda and I watch TV. We enjoy TV. But we're starting even, you know, to look a little closer to what we watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing some of the things that I'm reading in my spare time, both pleasure and learning. I'm filling my heart. But I also think that it's kind of interesting that he says things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Where do we find all these things? In the Word.
Yeah, we do.
In the Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're out. We can see them in other places. There are good things in this world, but most of these things are in the Word. so, again, I think, you know, I think we need to think about those things.
And we do.
And meditate.
You know, people meditate on, and the Lord does say that, meditate on my word. When you meditate on the word, it builds up your spirit. And so then, like when trouble comes, you can pull that because it's built up there. And I just feeling like, what, you know, I think it's a word that says guard your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
Guarding your heart is watching the input that is coming in. And in today's society, it's so much. Sometimes I'm a Facebook lover, probably addicted, but sometimes I have to disconnect from Facebook because it's so much stuff. And sometimes I disconnect. I don't unfriend people, but now I found how to, no, that's not a post I want on my page. And so I just hide that post. It's not that I'm, you know, disconnecting from that person, but that post is not what I want. But sometimes just with media, period, sometimes we have to withdraw from it for a moment. Sometimes I come home and I don't want anything on. I get a lot of stimulation in my day. I don't want, a lot of times you come home, if you notice, there's no television, there's nothing on. That is my way to bring it down 1,000 without adding any more input in.
Well, here's an example for me, just recent, where I found myself, in fact, we shared one of these last Sunday, as a matter of fact, I found myself being a little too impassioned about things in the world, political, whatever. And the Lord really said to me today, you're not called to this. You're not a politician. This isn't your job. You need to spend a lot less time worrying about this and thinking about this. I got this. This is my world. And your opinion isn't going to change much anyway. And it was just the Lord saying to me, don't spend time on this. And so I've turned off, you know, some of the sources of that. To do other things, to listen, you know, and I would encourage people to do this because this is an easy way to hear God's word. Listen to it on the way to work. You know, we all got phones and sources. I have the Bible on CD, and I just stick it in there. And I'll be honest, I don't know, I'm not always focused on it because I'm driving, and sometimes I'm thinking about something, but it's still there, and it matters. And then I've learned some new things as I've listened and go, oh, dang, I don't remember hearing that before. You know, it's just that feeling of what is important and discarding what isn't.
And I feel like over the last week or so, the Lord has told me to pick your battle. You know, and sometimes you do. And I know I've said that a couple of times, actually to some clients, to myself, that sometimes every battle is not your all battles, you know. The battle is the Lord's, a lot of that. It's in the Bible. But you have to pick the battles that you feel that are important to you, that matter to you and yours. And even with that, you have to give up sometimes people, things, situations over to the Lord.
Yeah.
There's nothing more you can do with it.
If there's a circumstance you're in, that whenever you're in that circumstance, it seems that you get upset, or frustrated, or angry, or whatever, might be time to walk away from that situation. And that's really what the Lord was saying to me about some of the things I was listening to. Not that they're necessarily bad, they're just not good for me. And I'm not called to that. So, Linda, when you say pick your battles, I think what you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think what you're really doing is I'm going to address the things I'm called to address. And I'm going to not waste any time on anything else.
Pretty much I'm there that, you know, I feel like for me, it's a lot going on.
You do have a calling.
I do have a calling, and I do feel like politically there
is
something.
And trust me, folks, there are days when I wish she didn't,
yes.
but I do believe she does.
There are days sometimes.
It's her heritage,
yes.
It's her culture, and I think it's something that God has prepared her for, and I have to accept that and not get in the way of that.
And I think there are some things that the Lord is saying, yeah, this is something that is unjust or whatever I feel for that, and this is something I want you to stand up and speak about. And sometimes I feel like there are going to be things that I don't feel like that's my fight, you know? And I pray about what Lord, is this it or is this not? I'm learning to pray about it. Sometimes, you know, I do feel like sometimes you get a righteous anger or you feel a certain way about a certain thing. Sometimes I don't believe that you should always discard that. Maybe the Lord is calling you to action in a certain way. I feel like you have to pray about it to see if this is something you need to follow up or pursue.
Well, we were just talking about this morning about we want to do a show to help for us and for you, our listeners, about how to be in this world and have a political view and believe what you believe, but do it in the right way. And we're working on that. I'm working on it.
And I'm definitely working on it. I do feel like that even as we're bringing it back to spiritual attacks, because some of spiritual attacks are not necessarily on you personally, but they can be against your family, your culture, your country, where you live and that kind of thing, and they bring up something in you. So sometimes you have to, I always feel like prayer is the first place to go.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you know, Lord,
hard to get wrong with that.
Yeah. What is this? How should I respond to this? You know, I trust that you will take care of the situation, however that prayer needs to be for you. But that's always a good place to start. Even if sometimes we're attacked and we don't know, is this a spiritual attack? God, and starting with asking, Father, is this a spiritual attack? How should I handle this? Trust me, He will give you the answer.
So let's try to stay.
And I feel like that is bringing it back focus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching our time and all that stuff. So, and we've got over 30 minutes, so we've got plenty of time. So, in preparation, again, word, prayer, meditation, the other thing, and this is yet another verse, and I'm going to just paraphrase it rather than stop to go look it up again, but it's in Philippians.
Okay.
Well, it's in Philippians chapter 3, and it's where Paul says that I'm going to forget the things that are behind me, and I'm going to press forward to the high calling of God. And that's the other thing is, in our flesh and the world and the enemy loves to throw our failures in our face. But I want to say something to every listener, particularly Christians, God doesn't do that. That is not coming from God. That is coming either from yourself or somebody or the enemy. God, if you have gone to Him, confessed and repented, that's yesterday. That's an hour ago. That's 5 minutes ago. I don't have to go there anymore. I don't have to be afraid of that. Now, don't misunderstand. There are consequences sometimes that continue on for the rest of our lives in some cases. But that's not, you know, I'm just saying one of the ways we win is refusing to just wallow in guilt.
Or in our past.
In our past, exactly, of something we've done that we can't undo.
It's
done.
Done. And now, going back to what you said, Philippians 3:13, I'm going to do the New Living Translation. Paul is saying to people, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. I mean, he hasn't achieved
perfection.
He's not
where he wants to be.
But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So he's saying there, you know, our past, the devil can use that because we've all done things in our past that we're not proud of. But you can just get lost and wallow and suck up in the hole of your past if you're not careful. So what he was saying was forgetting the past and moving forward, looking forward, going forward, and leaving the past in the past. So that is another way that we can definitely, like you were saying.
Well, you know, one of my favorite verses, I'm going to bring it up, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful which means every time, and just, which he has a right,
mm-hmm.
to cleanse us and wash us from all unrighteousness. Not some, not a little, all. And believe me, it took me a long, long time to really accept that verse. I always felt like there was penance I needed to do, or, oh, I messed up, so I've got to read the Bible for 5 hours. No, it's just going to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm wrong. And let's move on. And same thing here. And that's part of the preparation, is keeping that pipe, mm-hmm. I call it the pipe, unclogged, you know, so that the Holy Spirit is free to work in your heart and to have you ready.
Keeping your heart pure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying that pretty much, but, you know, sometimes our heart can get tainted with unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, and all of these things. It taints your heart. Your heart and the compassion and the love of Christ is, you know, just kind of clogged up like a vessel in there when it's coated with all of that. So when you can release unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, you know, all of those unhealthy emotions, give those to God, then he can work with your heart then.
Your heart is pliable.
Right.
And soft,
mm-hmm.
and moldable, and, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, it just came to my mind because you do this. You helped me with this. Linda has a name for Jesus that I never heard before. I understand it. Way shower. And what came to my mind was our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross. And at the same time, in that time, said, Father, forgive them. That's where we're supposed to. You know, he didn't let forgiveness be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even at that time, he was able to say, Lord, forgive them. For they know not what, they don't really understand what they're doing.
And if you think about it, when you're holding on to, and I held on to anger and unforgiveness for years of my life. When you hold on to that, you are stuck in wherever that was that it began. You think you have moved on, but really you are stuck in that place until you can release that unforgiveness. It's a place where the devil has free will because
so
you're all held on to that.
How did you get past that?
You get tired.
You get tired.
You know, for me, I can't speak for it, but you get tired of being angry with everybody, angry at situations.
And being upset.
And being upset. Nope. And then I look
so
at
what
it.
What did you do?
I really came to God and said, Lord, I forgive.
Exactly.
This person helped me to truly act that out, and I did eventually.
Yeah, right.
It didn't happen overnight. But it did happen.
And we've talked
and
about
then, yeah. And
act
then,
like it's so, even
right.
though it isn't so, so that it will be so.
Yes.
Take
and
the
then
step.
The anger just, I released that. I was holding on to that. And I believe you can hold on to anger for so long that it has to come out somewhere. It comes out physically in high blood pressure, heart disease, you know, anger is held in your joints. And I know some people will have a problem with that. But truly it is, and there's studies that show that some emotions can be locked in your muscles.
I've come to believe that, and I don't want to get all into that right now.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter. I do believe that your emotions affect your body. Let's just put it that way.
Well, however you
want
to say it, the studies
that
are showing that
mean.
That is true.
But now, for our listeners, Linda, and maybe I'm sneaky here, and I don't mean to be, but what if you need help dealing with that? What would you suggest? What if you've got this anger and this unforgiveness, and you feel so justified in owning it, and yet you want to be free, but you just can't let go?
I do feel like, of course, that you should seek. It doesn't always have to be a counselor, though. I do believe as a counselor that that is a good place to start. But, you know, you have to be able to talk that out with someone who is not judgmental that can allow
mm-hmm.
you.
Right.
And I feel like the first thing you can do is acknowledge you have this,
mm-hmm.
that you do feel angry, you feel justified in it. And a lot of times we say we feel justified in this anger, and it may have been something that really you should be justified in holding on to it. But if you hang on to that, I'm justified in that, then you're hanging on to it. You have to have a reason. And it controls you. So when you can let go that I justified in that it happened, that's okay. But when you can let go of the word "I'm justified," because that's an excuse to still be angry.
Right. Well, it's like this, and I believe this because I've experienced this. Those are chains that hold you back in your spiritual life. I'm convinced from my own experience.
Me too. I know.
And I know of a church that I was very involved with that had a ministry about this, and would have people come in for 3 or 4 days, and they would minister to them and help them. And the main things they dealt with were anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. And a lot of times the unforgiveness was towards themselves. Mm-hmm. They were angry and bitter at themselves for the mistakes they had made in the past. You know, and having gone through that myself, and coming out on the other side and feeling free, I want that for everybody.
Well, there are freedom ministries,
right.
And I would suggest that people look those up if you need it, because these are spiritual and Christian people that lead you through the steps to become spiritually free. I went to a similar experience called SOHO, which is setting the captive free, basically, is the foundation of that, but there are a lot of these spiritual setting the captive free is basically the foundational principle for both of those.
Right.
But there are those that you can look for. There are counselors. There are pastors that will help you. Sometimes I think it's best not to go to friends and stuff, because sometimes your friends will pick a side,
yeah.
And you don't need to be in a situation where somebody has to pick a side. You need a unbiased person that can hear the story and say some hurtful things to you to bring you to a place, and they can, you know, say it in love, but they are unbiased one way or the other. So sometimes it's better not to go to friends and family.
Well, I've actually had friends, God bless them, they didn't mean bad, who actually encouraged my unforgiveness and said, you're justified.
Yeah.
Right? That's not what I needed to hear, you know.
At the time, you probably
yeah,
I am, right.
And they were on, as you said, they had picked a side and they were on my side. But that didn't help me get free.
Right.
You know, and that's the point. And I'm going to take a little risk here and just jump in. And Linda, I feel sure. And that is, if you do not have access to such a resource, feel free to send us a comment, an email or something, and we'll find. I know of one, it's a little hard to get into, but I'll tell you, it's powerful. And I think Linda knows of several ministries that would love to help you now. Most of them are local to the Southeast because that's where we live, but I'm sure.
But they're connected to national ministries that do this in different areas.
So it's funny, I didn't plan on getting into this at all, but absolutely, that is preparation to
that
win
is
the battle.
Right. Yeah, well, because when you get a spiritual attack, when the devil knows your weaknesses.
And he's
going to
bring up the very thing.
Right.
Because listen, folks, don't kid yourself. I wish everybody would read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, because they are so insightful. The devil knows us. He's been practicing for a long time. He and his cronies know where to hit you, and they know you. They know your history. They know your weak points. They know how you're, you know, they've watched you. Now, they're not like the Holy Spirit. I don't believe they can read my mind. I don't believe they can read my heart. But they can watch and pretty well tell.
Just like we can look at somebody and know their pattern.
And they're even better at it.
Yeah.
Because they've been practicing for so long. So it's not something to play with.
Right.
But again,
we have the victory.
First place, I will always direct someone to is prayer. That's the first place. Honest, open prayer, believing that God hears you, understands, that the Holy Spirit will interpret your prayers and knows you, and that Jesus has paid for your sins. Start there. That's the first criteria for victory,
I think. It is. And prayer in that sometimes we are just talking. Prayer is a two-way conversation. So after you've prayed, sit there for a minute to listen. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you, to guide you, and to listen and to express some things through you. And some people say, well, I don't hear God's voice. It's that still small voice inside of you that gives you righteous direction. That is the Holy Spirit.
And let me add something to that is, you will learn to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned to hear. I still laugh at myself because it wasn't until I moved to Selma, Alabama, and got involved in the church that truly understood the gifts of the Spirit and practiced some things that I go, oh my gosh, the Lord's been talking to me for years, and I just thought it was me. I thought it was my crazy idea. You know, no, it's Him planting the seed. It's Holy Spirit giving you an idea, a thought, and putting in your heart and your mind those things. And yes, examine them. If they don't come in line with the Word, then you might want to rethink that.
Right.
But most of the time, God is talking to you. And if you will practice, you will learn to hear Him.
And that's the truth. And it's the gut instinct sometimes. But those are gut instincts. Those are a lot of time, don't go this way. This isn't a good time to do that. Those gut instincts that are right on, those are usually the Holy Spirit. And like you said, lining up with the Word.
And a lot of times they're totally contradictory to what the world would tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't take this job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks great. And grass looks green and the money's good. But don't take this job. This is not for you. This is not where you want to be. And I've had that. I've had that conversation with the Lord. And I'm so glad I listened. Because the money wasn't worth what it would have cost me to be in that place. Or what I would have lost by not being where God really wanted me to be. I wouldn't take that money for nothing. What I got in return was far, far more valuable. So, you know, we've talked about winning the battles, and we've kind of been all over the place. And we've talked, and I meant for us to spend most of our time on preparation.
And the preparation is, and we did say it, is being in the Word of God so that you are building up those deposits that when trouble comes, you can reach for that healthy place and deposits in your spirit of the Word encouraging you. We just said prayer is another way of preparation. I do believe being in good company of people
right.
who
yeah.
are good, spiritual, like-minded people. I believe that's a good place, too. And, you know, watching the input, what's being input into your spirit ring.
Yeah, okay. Totally agree with all that. Not sure where to go next. Are we winding up?
I think we are because we talked about the bring it all
me.
Around.
You know,
we talked about what.
I'm sure as soon as we say we're done, we'll think something
else. We will. But we did talk about what is in the spiritual attack.
I know what I wanted to say. I want our listeners, because we will never, ever do this deliberately. And that is to not feel like we've just put some kind of burden on you. You know, in other words, when we say prayer, try to make time, but don't turn it into a ritualistic, religious rule that you have to pray. And if you're praying 15 minutes a day, and now you think because we've talked to you, you guys spend 30, think about that. It's not, it's an attitude. It's not an amount. It's a quality. It's not a quantity. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, the more time you do spend prayer, probably going to be better off. But God's not asking for that. He's just asking for you to spend some quality listening, sharing time with Him.
And that can be in your car. It does not have to be the holy thou. It can be a conversation with you and God. It can be, Lord, I'm having a rough time today. It does not have to be formal. I feel like sometimes, but let's make a whole, because we have been all over the place. But let's bring it off. We talked about how do you know when you're under spiritual attack. Usually, it's one thing the Spirit tells you and you know you're under attack. But the other thing is, like, usually there's a succession of events that have occurred that you just wonder where in the world did this all come from. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's one event that happens. But it makes your spirit go to a place that you don't want it to go. So that's some of the ways that you know you're under a spiritual attack. And then that's a victory. And when you're under attack, it's not always when it's happening, though. You can have victory. God can give us victory anytime. But it's to get your mind right when it happens, that you can pull from the goodness and go back to the goodness of God.
Right. Yep. I totally agree. So, again, though we've said pray, read your words, spend time in the word, you know, those things. We're not trying to lay some legalistic burden on you. Fit it in where you can. I listen to the word in the car because I got a long commute, so it's perfect. But wherever you can find it, you know, and just get it in. Don't make it a big hard chore. You know, if you're a scholar and you love to delve into the Greek and the Latin, then go ahead. But just reading God's word is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's in, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you.
Right.
So let's you ready to close on this?
I am. I feel like we brought it to a place. We love to hear from anybody. You can reach us through Blog Talk Radio. You can leave a comment. We put this on Facebook. You can leave a comment just to kind of invite you to do that. If you have suggestions or an insight, we'd love to hear that. And we just pray that you have a good week.
I have one more story to tell because it's really kind of funny, but it's so appropriate. And I'm going to quit dodging this. The church I went to in Selma is called Christ the King. And they have a ministry there through one of the priests that's called the Lazarus Ministry. And through that ministry, he deals with people and helping them deal with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and growth all the time. That's his full-time job. But also, they will have a Lazarus weekend. And it really got to be funny. I mean, we just got where we laughed about it because the week of Lazarus weekend, which would start on Thursday, you could almost count air conditioning stopping the work and cars not running and washers and dryers quitting. And, I mean, it was an attack. We got where we just started laughing about it and go, you know, and just encourage each other, don't let it stop you, be there, you know, follow through, don't let this. And we would even, to those people who were coming, we would warn them, there are going to be things that are going to try to excuse you because the enemy does not want you free. Don't stop. Come. Be here. And it never failed that there were a lot of that. And some people, unfortunately, would give in and go, well, I can't come. This came up. But those that came, who overcame those battles, those obstacles, received amazing, amazing blessings. So I would encourage everybody, hang in there.
Yeah.
Don't quit, you know.
And sometimes when you are about to receive your deliverance, things happen. You know, right at the point where you are about to receive really some good, sometimes things happen to discourage you from.
Because the enemy knows you're about to get.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to have.
Right. And sometimes that's the way that I know it just came to me when you said that.
Right.
Hey, something's about to turn around here. He's hitting me hard. Press forward when you feel that.
What did we do, Wednesday? We looked at each other and said, oh, this is an attack. And it's an attack because he sees that we are making progress, that we are growing individually, that we are ministering and sharing God's love to people. And he doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he will do anything he can to get us distracted. Okay. Ready to close in prayer?
I think so.
You want me to pray?
Okay, I'll pray this week.
Okay.
Well, Father God, first of all, we just thank you that you're educating all of us, that those that listen, even Dave and I, as we begin this program, we are learning. The Holy Spirit is teaching through us. We learn as much as the listeners. You're encouraging and uplifting in us. Thank you for being the catalyst. Thank you for being the teacher in all of this. We appreciate that. And then I pray for people, Lord, that may, as we speak, be going through a spiritual battle, that they remember that the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. And that the Lord, Father God, you will encourage, you will lift, and they will be the victor. We pray in advance and we thank you for the victories that are about to be run, because the Holy Spirit has taught some people today how to keep pressing forward through whatever. And then, Lord, we just thank you for those who've already overcome, and they can say, hallelujah, I've overcome the battle. We praise you for those who have overcome, and we just give it all to you. We thank you. And in the end, what it all boils down to, Lord, that we truly love and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes. Well done. Glad that you need my prayers. Bye, folks. We're hanging up on you now.
Thanks.
Have a good week, and hope we hear from you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.